Awesome. Once. So today is our new theme, Truth with Love, and it's going to be a bunch of fun. So the question is, why are we doing this? What is the purpose of Truth with Love? It is to today reveal some areas of deception, reveal some areas of pride, bring a little bit of truth and humility. We want to hear God's character and we want to equip you, right? And get your heart soft and ready and open for Blackout Month. We've been building towards these two themes for the whole year. The heroes of the Bible was all about revealing God's character and showing the common theme of people are heroes when they follow God and not their own will. And so today, I want to, you know, pray that we're going to have that here today. Today, you're going to have a ton of scripture. There is heaps of it. In fact, I think Emily had a little bit of a heart attack when I sent her the message of how much scripture is going to be there. But that's good, because God's word is better than my word. Amen? There is a ton of info to back why scripture is truth, right? To back why that is. Now, this week, we've shared in the Facebook group a couple of messages and a couple of details from our founding pastor, Craig. And if you want to go to the Facebook group and check that out, that's great. We've also had a ton of messages in the past about the infallibility of scripture, right? The main thing that we need to know is that truth brings freedom, that all scripture is God-breathed, that it is infallible, and it is the foundation of our faith. That is the key to this message, and the key to the messages to follow is that everything we do comes out of the truth of the Bible, God's word over our own. So we want to pray. God, I pray today that you soften hearts, that you open hearts, that you're here with us, that you bring revelation, that you pour out your spirit of truth. God, have your way today in your house. Amen. So this year, and we're going to bring up our first scripture. This year, we have had a scripture as kind of the foundation of everything that we do, and that is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." It sounds simple, but in practice, it's incredibly hard to actually submit in all of our ways to God. But I want to pray that it is God's way and not our own in all things. So I want to ask a question. If you were deceived, would you want to know about it? Yes? Yes? No? What if having the truth revealed to you hurt you? Would you still prefer truth or deception? That's the exact question that Morpheus poses to Neo in The Matrix. If you had an area of pride in your life, would you want to know about it? What if the humility that came from it hurt you? It hurt your feelings. Would you still prefer pride or humility? This is the exact challenge that Moana poses to Maui in Moana. Huh? You can tell my, film knowledge from Matrix through to Moana is when I didn't have kids through to kids. I want to tell you two stories today. Two stories, I know, right? One about deception and one about pride. And today, I'm the example. In the middle of all of the lockdowns and all of the stuff, and I know you hear COVID and like there's a lot of anger and all of the stuff that comes up with all of that. But in the middle of COVID and the middle of lockdowns and all of the rest of it, I was deceived into thinking that politics was the way through. Was politics had done, made decisions and there was lots of political decisions made and that it was had to be undone by other political decisions or any of that. I was totally convinced that it was, political. And God showed me that area where I was deceived. I'd let politics get involved in my life and in my heart, and it was all I was thinking about. Now, I don't want to lead you to politics. I want to lead you away from politics because it was an area of deception in my life. And God showed me 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. And immediately the deception was lifted. And I repented and I said, so God, my job's a pastor, not a politician. What have I done? Oh, how I was deceived. The answer for our city isn't politics, it's you, God. Why? Oh man, what an idiot. And it hurt. And I'm really glad that I didn't hurt anybody by going down that political road. But God revealed that area of deception that I'd been deceived into thinking that something else other than God was the answer for our city. As a result of lifting that deception, our church came out of COVID healthy financially, without losing members, without, you know, we did the best we could have possibly done out of COVID. Not because we were led as a team by politics, but because we were led as a team by God. The second story that I want to tell you is about my own pride that God dealt with. Throughout my life and throughout the last 30 years of the church, there has been so much taught about leadership, and that leadership is the thing that will grow the church. And see, I'd been totally deceived and totally even prideful of the reason that our church was growing, or the reason that our church was doing good, or if any given Sunday there was more people that turned up, that all of that was because I was leading well, or that we were leading well, that Craig and Chris were leading well. And whilst they did do that, that was out of pride, that I thought that that was what was attributing to the success of the church. In July 2021, I went away for 2 days and I was praying and worshiping, and God lifted this deception and took away this pride and really showed me that leadership, whilst it's a good thing, it's not a God thing. That God will grow his church, not people. Yes, it's our job to throw the seeds, but it's God's job to water the seeds. It's God's job to harvest the seeds. It's God's job. It's the Holy Spirit that brings salvation, not me. It's the Holy Spirit that brings salvation. It's the Holy Spirit that does miracles, not me. Now, Craig and Chris, they're amazing leaders, but the best thing that they did when they were leading was follow God, not good leadership skills. Whilst those were good things and they were helpful and they do good things, it's God that grows his church. And so God humbled me, and he revealed that our job was to listen and obey, not to do leadership well. So why should we choose truth? Why should we choose to reveal deception and reveal pride, even if it hurts? Deception and pride are the road to destruction. And conversely, truth is the road to salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. But by the truth, but by the way, and but by life. That is, Jesus Christ is absolutely the only answer to deception and to pride. Why choose truth? It's because by definition, when you are deceived, you don't know you're deceived. You could be deceived right now, sitting in these pews, watching online. So truth is a constant decision to follow and find freedom. It is not the Morpheus decision, red pill, blue pill. I can't even remember which one's good or bad. I don't remember. But it's not a one-off life decision. It's a constant decision, as Kate said, to crucify the flesh and chase God, to chase truth. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We know that deception and pride aren't people, they're spirits. And I want God to win the battle for my life of deception and pride. God, we pray today that as we do this battle, that you are here and that you are the answer. God, I pray pride and deception have no place in our church anymore. Have no place in your church, no place in your family, in the body of Christ. Take it away from us. God, we choose today truth. We choose you over our own thoughts, our own opinions, our own preconceived ideas, our own ideology, everything, God, we choose you. Amen. I want to show you in Scripture a time when someone was deceived and Jesus didn't deal with the person, he dealt with the spirit. This is how we're going to deal with our life. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 to 23, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day, risen to life." So Jesus he's prophesying his own death and resurrection. "And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him." That sentence alone, wow. Someone took God, flesh incarnate, aside and tried to rebuke him. Woo! Man, that sentence alone. Can you see what deception did? "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." And Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus didn't talk to Peter. Jesus talked to the Spirit. Now, we may not deal with Satan. I highly, highly, highly suspect we never deal with Satan direct. Mainly because we're not that influential, right? Satan would send demons to deal with us, right? Not him direct. But in this instance, it's Satan. Satan's going right at Jesus, trying to rebuke him. And Jesus doesn't deal with Peter. Jesus deals with the spirit that's attacking. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Wow. But I want to tell you, in this story, we're not Jesus, we're Peter. We adopt our own view of the world instead of adopting God's view. And we need Jesus, we need God, we need the Holy Spirit to deal with the spirit of deception in our lives. So what is the spirit of deception? What does it do? Why are we talking about deception and pride? We're going to break these two down. Deception convinces us of things that are untrue. I know, sounds weird, right? It's real obvious. Deception convinces you of things that are untrue. But wait, there's more. It convinces people that God is not who he says he is, but God is who we say he is. It convinces people that truth is at odds with love. That to love is to accept and endorse one's behavior. It convinces people that speaking the truth is hateful. But deception only ever aims to lead people away from Christ. It does not ever aim to love. I need to be really, really, really clear here. The spirit of deception is pure evil masquerading as compassion. If you have the gift of grace, you need to be extra careful to guard your heart against deception. Because you're susceptible to seeing it as compassion when it's not. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? We can be deceived by our emotions. We can be deceived by compassion or false compassion. Pure evil masquerading as compassion. I'm going to expand here because it's not quite obvious. I'm going to expand a little bit. I'm talking about sin. God hates sin. That's not God hates sinners. God hates sin. And the reason that God hates sin is because of what it does to those that he loves. Those two things have to be together. They can't be apart from one another. God can't love man and then also hate what man does that hurts them. God hates sin so much that he sent his son to die for us to take it away from us. That's how much God hates sin and how much God loves us. So what is sin? Why is there confusion over what sin is? There is confusion over what sin is because of the spirit of deception. Let me clarify for you what sin is. The first type of sin that's referred to in the Bible is sins that were set up for the Jewish people to be set apart as a nation from the other nations that they were around. So God told them, don't trim their hair from your beards. Don't mark your body. Don't get tattoos. You've got to take the chest box and put it on as a necklace. You've got to cover your heads. Right? God made these rules to circumcise your young boys. He made these rules to set Israel apart as a nation so that it didn't look like in any way that they behaved or in any way that they were physically visible, it didn't look like they were anybody else's but God's. Now that is the first type of sin. But tradition was done away with Jesus. Because the Gentiles were accepted into the family of God, and no longer was it one nation set apart for God, but it is now the church set apart for God. Don't believe me? This is Paul's entire argument in Galatians. Don't circumcise your kids because no longer are we set apart as Israelites, but the gospel is for all. Ephesians chapter 2, and every single time that Jesus corrected the Pharisees. That's the first type of sin and the reason why we no longer live in it. That sin we are free from entirely. The second type of sin is cleanliness. This was the foods that we eat. This was how we were to behave when a woman was on her period, or how the Israelites were to behave when a man had a nocturnal emission. Oh no, they were meant to be funny, but nobody laughed. Great. That last one was a good joke. These were the things that God told the Israelites to take care of themselves because they didn't actually understand yet the germs and the things that would happen that would hurt them. Don't eat pigs because pigs, when they're not bred and looked after like we do today, they're actually really unclean animals and can make you really sick. If they're not cooked all the way through properly, can make you really sick. But God knew this, and the people at the time didn't. So God was giving them instructions as to how to avoid disease and sickness. Jesus clarifies this in Mark 7, and Paul further clarifies it in 1 Corinthians 8. Humans learned, and it's not that we got smarter, we just discovered why God had these rules. It's not that we're smarter than those people back then. It's that we just understand now this area where God was doing something to save his people. We're also free from that. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 8 about now eating food sacrificed to other gods and all kinds of foods. And he says, don't cause your brother to stumble, but that if your faith allows you to eat, you can eat also. But the third type of sin, is holiness and righteousness. These are, do not murder, do not take the Lord's name in vain, do not commit adultery, you know, all of the Ten Commandments, all of, you know, most of Levitical law, sexual sin, all of that never changed. Jesus clarified the setting apart rules of the Israelites. Jesus and Paul clarified cleanliness, but never, ever, ever changed holiness and righteousness. To quote Charles Spurgeon and take a page out of Reese's book, there can hardly be goodness in a man if he is not angered by sin. He who loves truth must hate every false way. As warm as God's love is to sinners, so hot is his hatred of sin. As perfect as his righteousness, so complete will be the destruction of every form of wickedness. Wow. If we're to take on God's heart, we have to take on that love, that real true love is to hate what hurts people. Not to hate people. Remember, we don't battle against flesh and blood. That means if it's flesh and blood, it's not your enemy. We battle against principalities and powers, spirits. So why is there confusion on what sin is? Why this confusion? Why when Jesus and Paul, they mark it out so clearly for us, why is there confusion? The world, and unfortunately the church, has been deceived that sin is to be redefined, to be accepted, and to even be celebrated. But the gospel is clear. The word of God is clear. Sin is to be crucified and to be ran from, to be replaced with Christ's likeness until righteousness is attained. Don't believe me? Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4, 11, verse 20. Oh, sorry. Chapter 4, verse 11 through to 25. So Christ himself gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. There's that word, deceit. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity to in their hearts, that is, they have given themselves over to sensuality so that it is to indulge every kind of impurity and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, that is, the sinful flesh, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. I know, I didn't have to preach, could have just read that out. Wow, Paul messes up the Ephesians here. Messes up our thinking. Can I use the most easy example in the entire world to help this drive home. I am a human person. I'm a human man, and that means that I am tempted. And everybody in this room and online and in every aspect of my life rightfully expects me to refrain from sin. That is, you would expect that no matter the temptation, be it greed, be it lust, be it any of the temptations, ego, pride, whatever, you would expect that I would refrain from that. But that's not a call for pastors, that's a call for Christians. That's a call for all of us. And I'm not perfect, absolutely. Nowhere close. Absolutely nowhere close. And only ever when I refrain from sin is it the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not me. Right? But God willing, I don't want that sin. I want righteousness. I want God. I don't want my old fleshly life. I want Jesus. But that's not a call for pastors. It's a call for Christians. Should we then rightfully expect of you to refrain from sin? That is, should each of the person next to you rightfully expect you to refrain from sin? And you to them. What about, we're going to pray. God, spirit of deception, be done. Lord, all of that deceit that has been, flowing in our minds, that we see in our news feeds and we see in our scrolling and TikTok and YouTube and all of the mess that just invades our world, all of the things that we're taught, all of those deceitful schemes of the enemy, we pray are broken in Jesus' name. We pray the spirit of truth revealed to us today where we have been deceived. In your mighty name, amen. Okay, the second one. Sorry, I'm going long today, and I know we've got the AGM, so we've got to go fast. The second one is the spirit of pride. Pride convinces us that we know better than God. Pride convinces us that human thinking is above God. It pulls down God's word to say, no, that's not God's word. We know better than that. Pride convinces people that God is an enslaver and not a redeemer. Pride convinces people that sin is as humanity defines it, not as God defines it. And pride makes us forget our place as creation. I had the pleasure of meeting up with some of our friends who are pastors at Melbourne West Church. It's another INC church. And we were talking about just this and how good it is that God would even bless us with loving us, right? Meg used the example of the lyrics of the song, "Who am I that the highest king would welcome me?" Now, let's not let those be empty words. Who am I that the highest king of all kings, the power with any word to change reality, would even glance in my direction? Who am I? How much it says about God's character and my shortcomings that God would love me when the gap from humanity to who he is so big. So big it could not be spoken if everyone said it for the rest of their lives. Micah chapter 6 verse 8 says, "O mortal, how we forget the gap of God is, how big the gap is to God." It says, I've got to go back to my phone. Hide that back. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. O mortal. Man, Micah puts that in great words, doesn't he? O mortal, who are you? God told you, and he's God. Let me make this super clear. Pride is utterly futile. Your pride does not in any way, in any tiny little minute way, diminish the power of God. You can think that way, but it doesn't do anything. Nothing we could do would diminish the power of God. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, it says, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break the chains and throw off their shackles.' But the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them and in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath." Does the world not understand that no matter how prideful, how deceived they are, it will never diminish that God is the King of Kings seated on the throne in heaven with the power in his voice to create the world or to end it? Do we not know that the schemes of the nations are in vain? Pride, like deception, masquerades as if it's love. But it's not God's love. It's only man's dirty perversion of it. Only man's perversion of God's creation is glorified in pride. God is not glorified when we're proud. And what we're experiencing today in Western civilization is a battle with truth and love on one side and deception and pride on the other. So, I want to ask a couple of questions. Well, you might be asking yourself a couple of questions. How do I know if I'm deceived or if I'm prideful? Ask yourself, what holds a greater weight in my life? My opinion or God's word? If it's your opinion, then you're likely deceived or prideful. And I massively urge you to reconsider. So we've talked about the problem. What's the answer? There's two really big keys to this. The first one is to fall in love with God more than anything else in your life. Love God's word. Love God's presence, love God's character. We all sung this morning, "We are your children. You've set us apart. God, for your glory, make us holy like you are. We are your temple." Huh? We don't want to sing those things in vain. We want to love God more than anything else. We want to love his word, love his presence, love his character, and love his correction. From there, I want to give you five R's that can set you free from this. And if you've been with our church a long time, you'll know what these are. We often bring them back up, but it is. The first R is to reveal. To pray, to reveal deception and pride in those areas. And I know that the Holy Spirit will show you what that is. The second one is to repent of allowing that into your life. The third R is to renounce that spirit's influence, that it can never have a hold in your life anymore. The fourth, to replace that area with Christ-likeness, deception and pride with truth and humility. And then the fifth is to rejoice that you now live in the freedom given by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is not the freedom to sin, but the freedom from sin. God, we pray today that you are here, that you reveal to each and every heart what that area of pride or deception is. Lord, where it comes from, whether it's a friend, whether it's influence somewhere else, whether it's just a long-held belief. God, I pray that you just reveal that deceit and that pride today. Holy Spirit, for that area of our lives, we repent. God, we're so sorry that we allowed that to be a part of who we were, to take on that instead of your word. God, please forgive us for being prideful, for not listening when you revealed the truth, to holding on to our deception. God, we renounce that spirit. The spirit of pride and the spirit of deception have no place in our lives anymore. God, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will show me when those areas, when those spirits are attacking. You'll show me how to do battle with those spirits, that we won't accept them. We won't accept deception and we won't accept pride. That they have no hold in any of our lives anymore. God, we replace that area of our lives with your word, with your spirit, with your presence, with the humility that comes from knowing that we are a loved creation. Our place so far away from you, only brought close by your blood. And with truth, a solid knowledge of your character and who you are. Not who someone else says you are, but who Scripture says you are. And we rejoice. We rejoice now that you've taken that sin and that deception and that pride away. God, for every single person, we pray today, a rejoicing, joyful spirit, that we're no longer bound by the things to be set apart. We're no longer bound by the things of cleanliness. But God, we want to be bound to righteousness and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live righteous and holy in your sight. Thank you, Lord, that you gave the Holy Spirit, not by our own strength, that we may live righteous, but by your strength. We thank you, Lord, in your mighty, awesome, wonderful name. Amen. Amen.